We are live. Do not swear. Do not say fuck or bugger.
Don't say fuck or bugger. Welcome back to the Movie Men, listeners. My name's Callum O'Toole, and we're a little light on men this week, but we've still got plenty of movies, and I've got two nice guys with me to discuss them. Handy with his fists, it's Ollie Britton. How are you, my man?
I'm not handy with my fists. I'm the biggest coward going, but I am large, so hopefully people would look at me and be a bit scared.
Yeah, kind of like Homer Simpson in that way, when he becomes a heavyweight boxer, just taking a pounding.
I have the same sort of body, beard, gruff profile as Russell Crowe in this film, but without actually being like a tough man. Because he's so big in this film, it's great. Anyway, we'll talk about it.
He is large.
I'm good and I'm glad to be here.
Excellent. And some have called him the world's worst detective. It's Johnny Smith.
It's true.
It doesn't really make sense, but...
Have you solved anything?
I haven't been given any crimes lately, but I'm sure if I did, I probably wouldn't be able to solve them.
You're up in the Lake District at the moment, actually, so you could be another regional detective like Partridge was trying to sell with Swallow.
What's Swallow again?
If I, want to get somewhere quickly, might do 17 or 65.
Gone to the second home. Is that breaking rules? I don't think it is. Actually, you are afraid to break the rules, else you would have gone there weeks ago.
And the thing is, I am staying alert, so...
Well, we've been staying alert, but there are going to be some relaxation on some of these rules coming up, specifically for the film industry, because film stars, it's been announced, will be exempt from UK quarantine when entering the country. So to get the economy back on track, get the creative arts and creative industries back going again, actors coming over from overseas won't have to quarantine when they come to the UK. So what I want to know from you guys is who from the world of film should we actually probably be checking and quarantining rather than just allowing in willy-nilly? Ollie?
Well, I was just thinking about who's kind of not done like a film for a while that's quite wacky and like would come over to London for maybe like a sort of indie thing and want to really tear it up. And I was thinking Shia LaBeouf. He's got that crazy streak, right? And you know they're saying with coronavirus that like the louder you talk, it like comes out in your speaking. And do you remember there's that video of him going, just do it. Just do it. I just imagine him running around, like screaming at people, just do it. And like, no, we need to stay inside. Just dishing out corona by screaming at everyone. And just sort of going about the town, like gallivanting around, hitting the pubs, sort of causing a stir, you know, maybe like, you know, kissing fair London maidens and, you know, just making a wake of carnage.
So, I'm fully on board with keeping Shia LaBeouf out of the country.
Yeah, pretty scary.
A super spreader, if there ever was one.
Yeah.
One of my least favourite men, Shia LaBeouf. How about you, Johnny?
I sort of went into the film world and I thought there's a few...
In a kind of like Christopher Nolan way, you went into the film world.
In the film world. And then I had a dream about the film world, but woke up and was in another dream about the film world.
Yeah.
And so I thought Michael Myers, not Mike Myers from Austin Powers, but Michael Myers... from the Halloween films, would be a terrible person to allow through the quarantine rules because he spends all the Halloween films just stalking people. Yeah. And though he does keep a 2 meter distance to start with, he very much goes over the 1 meter plus rule by going in your house, fingering your knives, opening your doors, strangling people.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a nightmare. He's a super spreader, but he does have a mask on.
I was going to say, he does have PPE. So he does have that going for him.
So I think you might be able to train him to behave himself, but, you know, I wouldn't want to take that gamble.
Well, along a similar lines, I was thinking Maximus from Gladiator because... Nice. You know, he's Roman, so he's probably got loads of disease just being out in the battles and in warfare, you know, loads of VD, riddled with VD probably. Certainly no social distancing for him at work.
No.
In the arena.
Blood.
They get pretty up close and personal. And also his mask is stopping nothing. It literally has a cut around his mouth.
That's bad PPE.
Just needs one of those medical masks just over the front of it. Just a whole metal helmet, but just with one of them over there.
The KN95.
It would have massively affected Gladiator if, while he was delivering his famous speech, he had a surgical mask covering his mouth, so the Joaquin Phoenix didn't get germed up by Maximus.
My name is Maximus Decimus Meridius, commander of the armies of the North, general of the Felix Legions, loyal servant to the true emperor, Marcus Aurelius, father to a murdered son, husband to a murdered wife, and I will have my vengeance in this life or the next.
So we've got an exciting one for you tonight, listeners, because we are looking at The Nice Guys from 2016, available totally free on Amazon Prime. And it's a neo-noir action comedy starring Ryan Gosling and Russell Crowe. Could probably leave it there. As private investigators hired to track down a runaway teen played by Margaret Qualley, who inadvertently stumble into a wider conspiracy related to Big Otto. Here's a clip.
You're a private investigator?
My profession is very complicated, okay? It's nuanced.
That's a lot of blood.
You beat people up and charge money?
Yeah. Sad, isn't it?
How much would you charge to beat up my friend Janet?
What?
How much you got?
$30?
That's good. This conversation is over.
The mob is trying to spread its operation to Los Angeles. Somehow, my daughter Amelia is involved. Please, find her.
Seen this girl?
Who's in it for me?
Oh, we can do this the easy way. Ow! We're currently doing it the easy way.
Whatever happened to offering me $20?
It's the recession.
So this was an Ollie Britton selection. So yeah. Ollie, why did you come to us with The Nice Guys?
I saw this film... not in a cinema, but I think I did see it, maybe a DVD, but as well as films, well, I hadn't heard anything about it. Like, I maybe had seen one trailer, but like it just seemed to fly under the radar, but it's so funny. And it's just like, it seems like one of these films that I don't feel like not many people know about, but it's hysterical. Like Ryan Gosling is just hilarious in the whole thing. You know, Russell Crowe is Russell Crowe and he's just fantastic in it. And there's just so many great characters and little plot twists. And you kind of look at it and you go, I don't know what makes this film so special, because the plot isn't that original. It's like fairly standard setting, you know, but it's just done so well with such panache. And again, a real comedy for me, and just a rollicking film, you know, you just enjoy it from start to finish. So I thought, you know, I'd see if you guys liked it as well, or if I'd get, if I'd get hammered again with like the whole Horrible Bosses saga.
Everyone apart from me liked Horrible Bosses. Don't worry about that. Johnny, Ollie has talked about how funny this film is, and when we were on the WhatsApp the other night, that was all that was going is, oh, this is hilarious. But actually, in hindsight, the cold light of day, I think that we actually did it a bit of a disservice by just talking about how funny it was, because it's actually a brilliant, really tightly written film. Yeah, I don't know how you found it, Johnny, but what did you make of it?
Yeah, I mean, I think I saw it when it came out, what was it, 4 years ago, and I hadn't seen it since. And I remember at the time thinking, you know, it's a great star vehicle for Ryan Gosling and Russell Crowe. They are, you know, a great combination, sort of following on to Shane Black, the director wrote Lethal Weapon, you know, classic sort of buddy cop movie. So, it, you know, very much fits in that mold. But watching it back, I think the sort of nuances of the script and the sort of wonderful sort of 70s LA that it creates, you know, just such great locations, and then there's some great little lines and great little moments that you can easily miss, you know. So I think when you sort of get those little nuances and little comments, there's you know, loads of great little bits to unpack. And just as Ollie said, it's just a really enjoyable, rollicking sort of, you know, popcorn film.
Yeah, Ollie, those bits we were talking about there, and Johnny's mentioned it, touched on it, Shane Black, who also wrote and directed Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, which was one of the earliest films we did in the Movie Men.
We love
that. The two films have a huge amount of similarity to them. This is my second time watching The Nice Guys, and it was even better, I think, than I remembered the first time. But it does have that Shane Black sort of style to it, in terms of the tightness and the little twists and turns that it takes throughout.
There's such an energy to the dialogue. Like, I want to say pace, but then it's not always quick. But it's just, there's just something very, like, it's really inventive. It's so creative. It's like, you know, Tarantino has that style of dialogue, you know, ages and ages of, like, Whereas with this, it's like, they can be just these many little, they're like mini conversations that can be quite poignant and hilarious and like be less than a minute long. And this film has so many of those, you know, between Russell Crowe and Ryan Gosling. So I think, I guess that's the type of style, I guess, that he does in Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. Do you think that rings true?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's very similar. Obviously, it's Val Kilmer and Robert Downey Jr. in that one, playing the two roles. And they do, they're different stylistically, the way that they do the performance. But in terms of the chemistry between the two leads is very similar.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so many great like throwaway lines as well, just little bits. I mean, I sent one that I recorded while I was watching it, which just when she starts screaming, it's not a porno in his house. You just hear Ryan Gosling just in the background say, "I have neighbours."
Yeah.
And it's just so just totally off so off the conversation.
Every time money gets mentioned, and he's like, "Ooh," his eyes light up. He's such a scumbag, but he's actually a nice guy. Yeah, it's great.
Well, yeah, and that concept of are they good guys or not, that's running throughout.
Yeah, I love that. It's like they aren't, in like the little things they do, they don't look like good guys. You know, like alcoholic, smoking, terrible dad, irresponsible. Yeah, that's like the Holland March, Ryan Gosling's character. Russell Crowe, you know, heavy-handed, will beat up anyone. There's a great bit at the beginning when he's having a conversation with Ryan Gosling's character's daughter about beating up her friend who's like 12. And he's like, yeah, and, you know, it depends on the price. So you get the idea he's this hard.
So it's like Crumbopulous Michael.
Yeah, we'll kill anyone.
I'll kill anyone.
But when you add up there, so in the micro, in the little aspects, you're like, they're not good guys, but overall they've got big hearts and they do the right things when it matters, and they actually care about you know the sort of victims in the story. They're so lovable, aren't they? They are, they really are nice guys. Oh, it's good. But Johnny, I like what you were saying about the 70s setting and that, like, because it is that, isn't it? And like, they don't ram it down your throat.
I actually didn't realize throughout most of it that it was meant to be 70s.
Yeah, it's just little things like the bat, like they go to that party and it's like, "Do you remember?" You know, and they're like, what they're wearing, and
Earth, Wind and Fire just playing at the bar.
It's and like costumes.
That's
costumes.
Money.
But it's quite subtle, isn't it, Johnny? I think is that why maybe it this will kind of last, this film, do you think?
I think as you said, it's nice little touches and the outfits and the houses and the design is all.
Yeah.
Is you know, it feels very authentic and interesting, you know, to sort of furnish the action, but without, you know, ever being sort of the prominent thing. And you're, you know, look, whereas I think, I suppose, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, you know, is sort of a similar film in many ways. But I think this managed to avoid the sort of 70s cliches.
It did. I think so.
Yeah. In fact, it's funny you mentioned Once Upon a Time in Hollywood because Margaret Qualley's in both of them.
Talking of actors and actresses, Kim Basinger, is it?
She popped up again. She loves a noir. LA Confidential. Then into this one, playing a different role.
It's basically like she just travelled from that film straight into this.
It's like she'd grown up and got that job. She'd like turned away from like there, become the head of the Justice Department, got corrupt. That was great. Not to give too much away.
Remember when we, in fact, Russell Crowe and Kim Basinger as well from LA Confidential. So there's so many great little threads, so many great movie men threads just coming together in
and
this
also
film.
Russell
I love
Crowe's
it.
Russell Crowe's kind of like an older buddy, right? He's a bit fatter and a bit old, but he's still like a tough guy and he's a bit sluggish and he's lost sort of his dynamism. But it's this,
He's got a lot more charisma than Bud White.
He does. I love that.
Also, we had in movie men links, we had a precocious who's too clever.
Yeah, that's very true.
Just like in
Man on Fire.
Another really who can just, you know, just solves the whole crime, solves it, and she's like 12.
Yeah, it's a shame Harry's not here to have a meltdown about the fact that there's a precocious child serving him.
She's brilliant, by the way, the child who plays Holly, the daughter. She, you know, because she's so likeable. Yeah. She has the innocence, but they've not been like, "Oh, I'm just like the kid." She's innocent, but that just makes her like do the right thing. But yet she's still very smart and strong, and you just love her, don't you? Like, she's such a great aspect of the film, you know. And she keeps the other two honest, I think.
Right, let's do our favourite scenes. Johnny, what was your favourite scene in this?
Well, I mean, as you said, that there's lots of good, nice little moments. Like, there was a bit where they're talking about John Boy, the assassin, is coming to get them, And they're like, John Boy from the Waltons. He's like, we don't the same one, but we don't know.
We don't know.
It could be. It just sort of goes on, just those little comments. But I really like the bit where they get the lift and they're, you know, ready for action. And they get the lift and they're like, we're going to do this. So and they open the door and it's chaos. And then it just closes back and then just silently ride back down the lift.
And they're like really terrified. You can tell how terrified Ryan they
Gosling
are.
Ryan Gosling is shaking and his face so funny.
Yeah, that is so good. I love that scene as well. That's a brilliant shout. Ollie?
So it's tough because there were two, and it's a toss-up between, and I think this is one of the reasons I love the film. Like, when a film has a hilarious bit right at the beginning, I'm like, okay, I'm going to love this film. And it's Gosling, and he's setting up the idea that he's this cool PI, and he's doing the voiceover about what it means to be a detective, and he tries to break into the building and just cuts himself so badly and is taken off to the hospital. And it's just so funny because the rug is lifted from underneath you. You're like, oh, this guy's incompetent. Yeah. So it's between that or when he's at the party trying to find out clues, and he's gradually getting more and more drunk, and he's got his spiel, which is like, have you seen this girl? She's this high, and her name is this. And he goes, hey, nice to meet you. I'm Amelia. She's about brown hair, and she answers to the call of the wild. He's just like flirting with all these like dancer porn girls, and he gets all the things wrong in his list. And I just think I fell about laughing when I saw that both times. So for me, that's
great.
That's the one, and it sums up his incompetence, but yet also genius as a PI, that party scene. So that's the best one for me.
Mine is like one scene after yours when he finds the dead body and he's just going and he's just silently, wordlessly pointing, and there's no one there. He's just like freaking out and losing his mind, and he's just pointing at this dead body. It's so good.
That
and also the bit where the like 12-year-old asked him if he wants to see stick.
And he goes, wait, we just gave the $20. Wait, what the hell am I saying?
That's brilliant. I love that.
Inspired, yeah.
You want to see my dick?
On Wikipedia, it says that Sid Shattuck, the dead body, was Robert Downey Jr.
Was it?
Hilarious.
Oh, well, the guy who... right. The actor playing the dead body is Robert.
Oh, and it's an anagram. Oh, no, it's not.
No. Yeah. So I heard the other day in a podcast, I'm not going to mention what it was, but it was a football one, actually, so it doesn't really matter, that it was Josh Widdicombe said, you know, they found something out, and he said, you know, it's like when you find out that Neighbours is an anagram of Erinsborough. And everyone was like, what? He was like... Yeah, you knew that. Erinsborough, where Neighbours is set, is an anagram of Neighbours. And everyone was like, I didn't know that. That is mind-blowing. Yeah. And then the week later, they came back and they're like, it's not actually an anagram. It's two letters off. But how good is that?
That's something that March would do, that Holland March would do.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, obviously it's an anagram.
Great conviction.
He's like, yeah, that is genius.
I am good at three things: fighting, screwing, and reading the news. Now, I've already done one of those today, so what's the other one going to be, huh?
Newsy, newsy, news. Newsy, newsy, news, news, news. Johnny.
News. So news this week.
I should just do it quick. There's no Harry this week, so there is no three Fast, Three Furious. So all you three Fast, Three Furious fans, I'm sorry. I know you'll be turning off now. But Johnny does have some news that isn't, or may not be related to Johnny Depp and Amber Heard. So let's throw in. I don't know.
Well, I mean, I did have a look at the... I went on The Guardian, looked at their film news, and there were 8 stories on Johnny Depp and Amber Rudd. Amber Rudd? Oh, Amber Rudd.
Amber Rudd.
Amber Rudd.
Do you know what? It's actually probably a much more suitable like age gap between that. Johnny Depp and Amber Rudd. Poor Rudd.
All the Rudds. Razor Rudd. Okay, but that's not the news. We don't want to talk about that. So, I mean, the big news this week was the sad news that Ennio Morricone, the famous film composer, sadly died at the age of 91. And, you know, but, I mean, he did so many scores. You could be humming one of them. You know, Sergio Leone's films, The Hateful Eight, so many.
Yeah, and a great score like that just makes... I mean, I've been watching all the behind-the-scenes stuff on Lord of the Rings again because I'm an absolute goon. So good, Ollie. I know you love it as much as I do. And just like when they bring in... Like, the score for that's incredible. And it's something that I wouldn't say it gets overlooked in a film, but it is the thing that does bring the whole thing together, really, doesn't
it? Hugely, hugely.
Especially at that time when he was doing all the spaghetti westerns and stuff. Like, yeah. That is the iconic thing. That's what people remember about those films. They remember the music, and they remember, like, the standoffs and, like, the tight shots of eyes and stuff, like in the Sergio Leone direction. But really, it's those songs that persist throughout time. Now, like, Metallica always come out to the opening theme from The Good, the Bad and the Ugly.
Cool.
Yeah. When they play live shows, and that's like, what, 50 years ago that that film came out. So, crazy. Yeah, it's great to give a nod to a legend of a film like that.
Absolutely.
So that was in similar musical film news. Martin Scorsese is going to do a new documentary, and that's going to be about the lead singer of the band The New York Dolls, David Johansen. And that follows on Martin Scorsese's done documentaries on the band, on Bob Dylan, on George Harrison. So he's very much going back to his sort of younger days of musical taste. And obviously the New York Dolls are one of his classic favourites. So he's going to make a documentary about David Johansen from the New York Dolls.
Let me guess who's going to play a de-aged Robert De Niro.
That's interesting news. And then the final news of the week is that, returning to Halloween, is there's a new Halloween film by John Carpenter, which is probably the 15th one.
Yeah, what are we up to now?
Halloween Kills.
Well, my favourite thing about Halloween is how the main character has actually been killed multiple times. And they're, like, resurrecting him. Like, how many different ways can he be killed and resurrected? But do you know what would be a good question is? What is, like, the franchise with the most sequels now?
It must be that.
It's got to be up there, surely.
Surely. Because I know Fast and Furious is obviously, like, 9 or whatever. And
then 9, I think.
Oh, James Bond, I guess, technically.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Friday the 13th is on 12, I think. And they haven't made one for 11 years.
Right, let's wrap this shit show up with the tradition, in the traditional way, with a challenge from Mr. Ollie Britton. What we got?
Yeah, Ollie's challenge. So this week, in honor of Ennio Morricone, it's apparently how it's pronounced, my Italian friend told me, I am going to be humming 5 classic movie pieces from soundtracks.
Oh, okay.
However,
not specifically by him.
No, well, okay. He could be in there. Maybe isn't. But just like, you know, classic, the big dogs. We're talking about the big dogs. But to make
the big swinging dicks.
To make it more tricky, instead of just humming it, I'll be gargling it with water in my mouth. Because I think this is probably quite easy. So this will make it a little bit harder. And also, for points,
I like it.
We'll need the name of the track, which might be quite tricky. The film from, and the composer. They're the 3 points for each of the 5 questions. So, scores on the doors. We have, this is, they're not updated.
As if we're going to know the name of the piece.
No, you might do. No, you definitely won't. I think you might be able to make educated guesses at some of them.
Okay.
But scores on the doors. Harry, this is unupdated. Harry's got 17 at the lead. Callum 1 point behind with 16. Then Johnny rocketed up to 12 after missing a few weeks. And Mark is on 7 after quite a good start. So, obviously, I haven't updated these. But
I would have got none last week because I was doing.
So we might have Harry in the lead here, but screw that guy. He's not.
Boo.
Good, so this is your chance.
All right. I hate that guy.
First one. This is quite easy. Again, I hope I've got this right. All of this could be wrong. It's quite. I mean, I went on Spotify. So
just going to get water all over your laptop.
Yeah.
All of the laptop. Just all this digital stuff. Just all this electricity.
All over that Clay Matthews 2010 Green Bay Packers jersey.
Back when he used to play for the Packers. all right, here we go.
Oh, I think I know. I think I know what it is. Is it... Oh, but which one is it? So this is our friend Enrico, and it's one of the spaghetti westerns. I don't think it is The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. I think it might be A Fistful of Dollars.
Johnny, do you think it's The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly? Because I'm looking for 3 points.
I'll say it is Ennio Morricone, and I think it is The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, and I think it shall just be called The Main Theme.
Well, let me tell you. Callum gets a point because he did say it is by Ennio Morricone first.
Yeah.
However, it is from The Good, Bad, The Bad, The Ugly.
I thought it would be too obvious.
Like I said, it's the only written one that I could trust myself to remember to gargle. Yeah. And it is, yes, main theme or title theme. That's the point. So two points.
Can't believe you just got a point for main theme.
Bastard. This is Ollie's challenge. He's ruthless and mad. Okay, next one. This is good.
Fair play.
All right. Question two.
Johnny does have his hand up, but I was just trying to listen more.
I tried to do an intro there, and just like didn't get the intro right, but anyway.
The best thing is, you can't see whether one of us has their hand up.
No.
Because you're looking up and gargling.
I'm gargling.
So it's on the honor system. So I was just, Johnny did have his hand up for ages, but I was just trying to listen.
Well, I'll say it's Star Wars. I'll say New Hope, and it John Williams, and is it The Empire's March?
No, it's close to that, though.
Have a stab.
Can I steal if we're going to be really tight? It's called the Imperial March, isn't it?
Very good. So it is Star Wars. I don't think it's a new... Oh, yes, of course, sorry.
I think it features in
4, 5, and 6. Yeah, New Hope, Empire, and Jedi. And yes, it is Imperial March brackets Darth Vader theme. However, we still don't have the composer. Buzzers?
John Williams.
John Williams. Yeah, John Williams. Callum gets a point for Imperial March. That is absolutely correct. And Johnny takes another 2 points there by the film.
That is a bit of a theft. Johnny did basically say it. I think if I hadn't known it, I'd have let you get away with having...
But there is one called, like... There's two that are so similar. There's Imperial March and, like, Imperial Attack... Which is like a different, and it's similar. So, but this is the Darth Vader one. Da, 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 da. That's the Darth Vader theme or Imperial March. So, very good. All right, let's do number three. Oh, well. That's the best one I've done.
Well, I thought I knew it at the beginning, but then it went off. So it's not Chariots of Fire, is it?
No.
That's what I thought it was at the beginning, but then it changed.
I mean, I think I'm doing it in the right key. Very hard not to do this without choking.
Sounds a bit like Jerusalem.
Oh, you'll kick yourself, especially you, Callum.
I thought it was Nest and Dormant, don't we?
Okay. Because you're struggling, I'll just hum it normally. See if you get it without the gargle. I'm glad the gargle has worked as a buffer, though.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, yeah, that's Gollum's theme. That's Gollum's theme from Lord of the Rings.
Lord of the Rings, and you're going with Gollum's theme. Composer?
Howard Shore.
So Lord of the Rings is correct. Howard Shaw is correct. It's not Gollum's theme.
Is it not? Is it the Ring song? Is it the Ring song?
Can you hazard a guess?
Yeah, I was just going to say, it's the one, right at the start, I'll just say Ring theme.
It's called Fountains of Stone.
Is it?
And actually, although I thought it featured in all of them, apparently it's only the Two Towers. And it's right at the beginning of the Two Towers. But it said the track name is Fountains of Stone, apparently. So anyway, 2 points for Callum, which puts you on level peggings.
That sounds like a Stone Roses B-side.
Yeah! All right, here we go.
Oh,
It's pretty tough, this.
That sounds like a lot of things.
What will help you is if you think about the composers we've gone through. So we've knocked out Sean Williams and Mozart. This is like a probably the most mainstream one.
Okay, so I'm going to go... Okay, I'll go for, as we haven't said him yet, Hans Zimmer.
Correct. That was a bit of a
So, Inception?
Johnny. It's not Inception.
No, not Inception.
I'll say Cool Runnings. Famously scored.
It's not Cool Runnings.
But he did genuinely score Cool Runnings.
Back to Callum. So I think maybe when you get the film, it might jog you for what the track is.
Hans Zimmer did Gladiator, didn't he?
It's Gladiator.
Yeah.
It's that one with like those are like singing.
I wouldn't know what the name of the track is.
It's called Now We Are Free, and it is a banger. Go and listen to it, folks, and you too, movie men. So Callum sort of accidentally gets 2 points there. Sorry, Johnny. Question 5, hands on buzzers. Oh, just the right amount of water left.
Oh, and famously, Ollie drinks out of a Pyrex because a normal glass of water is not enough for a man of his girth. Johnny's got it.
Gozer!
It's James Bond. I presume we're on Dr. No, and it will be the, I don't know, James Bond's theme.
And the composer?
I'll just say John Williams again.
Oh! So it is from James Bond, and it is, yes, Dr. No, because that's obviously the first one, but I would have taken James Bond. It is the James Bond theme. So you've got 2 points there. Callum, so if you get this... You will win if you can
kick myself if I don't know the composer.
This for the win. You should know.
The composer of James Bond.
You will kick yourself.
I will. I know. Kurt Cobain.
John Barry. Another famous
John Barry. I've got a,
not John Barry.
I've got literally got a vinyl. Cool. John Barry and his orchestra play Bond themes.
Yeah, it's
sitting about 5 feet away from me, and I.
Do Barry. Do you also have a tape of Alan Partridge acting out the beginning of
Bill Bush? Stop guessing Bond wrong.
Stop guessing Bond, Len. When he goes and just hits the cereal. Okay, so there we go. So it's a tie. What a lovely, neat and tidy Ollie's challenge. You both finished with 6 points to add to the tally. And then when we find out the revised scores, I mean, I'd say that would probably put catapult Callum into the overall lead and Mark will still be down in last place. But Harry will have some work to do and Johnny, you'll be in a much healthier position. So, hey, all to play for as we continue.
Yeah.
I Will Love Me is a brilliant film. It began in... Forest in Germany.
It's Austria! Austria!
It's the one where the laser beam goes up his jacket.
Goldfinger!
What's the one with the volcano and it splits up and a big rocket comes out and there's all chinkies jumping down?
It's not a Thunderbolt.
No, stop getting Bond wrong!
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that was a rip-roaring good time, on a par even with The Nice Guys and Kiss Kiss Bang Bang and all that Shane Black goodness. We've thoroughly enjoyed ourselves, haven't we, fellas?
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely, yes.
Oh, yes.
And the good news is we'll be back in a couple of weeks' time to do... What we do in the shadows. Anyone got anything big coming up this week? Johnny, you're in the Lake District. Ollie, you've got a new job.
It's my son's first birthday, which I'll be missing, chasing that Yankee dollar.
I'm missing my fiance's birthday also for the Yankee dollar.
And it wasn't even a second thought. I was like, of course I'll miss my son's birthday to this advert. Are you kidding me?
Money don't make my world go round.